step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty, Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every day from sunny Southern California. Welcome in. A continued thanks to the LA Rams and LA Chargers for opening their doors and allowing us to broadcast live from their camp. I mean, like, look, teams that get it, and they invite us because we promote their team, but there's no real, like, tangible benefit to it, and yet they're great. I mean, both organizations, both PR groups, they were awesome. So, and I'm sure they're not listening because this is about the time when the Rams are getting ready to go 1-3, and then the Chargers, they already went this morning, they go in the morning. So it's not like they're listening. I'm just like, you got good people. And I think I speak for Jason Stewart when you're like, the PR people in the NFL are really, really good. They get it. They bring you the people you want when you want them. Like, to get the Super Bowl MVP, to get the best wide receiver in the league, and to get Les Snead yesterday, considering all the things that were going on, pretty awesome stuff. So thank you to the Chargers and the Rams. Check out the latest lines of the world of sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You got to be 21, present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I did hear Colin say this, so I'm going to tip my cap to him, which is that things leak for a reason, right? And I think most of you know that, but Colin saying it is something I not only believe and know to be true, but I also think this is the perfect story of that and the perfect example of it, where Chris Haynes, who's a guy who's been a fast rising star in the media business, Chris Haynes is a guy who he was able to learn about this meeting. It wasn't a secret meeting, but learn about this meeting between the Lakers brass and LeBron James and LeBron James' agent, and what kind of came out of it, right? What came out of it? Now, you heard from the update with Dan Beyer that it looks like Kevin Durant now wants to play for the Celtics, and they weren't that far apart on a deal, which leads you to believe they'll lean back into it, but also that Kyrie Irving seems to be the root of the problem, where he really doesn't like Steve Nash or the front office there, right? Sean Marks. But something that hasn't been said when I read this report about LeBron James and the meeting is that I kind of feel, look, there's messaging that comes out of it, right? There's messaging that comes out of any sort of report like this, any sort of meeting like this. And the messaging is pretty clear. Remember, you're meeting with LeBron and you're meeting with his agent, and his agent, I guess you could say LeBron as well, his agent Rich Paul also represents Anthony Davis. So when LeBron James sits down to talk potential extension, he sits down with Rob Pelinka and they talk about having patience, but the messaging that you hear, right, the messaging that you hear is that Darvin Ham, their new head coach, wants guys that play for each other, guys that are unselfish, guys that give them utmost effort, that accept their roles. By the way, that's not just directed at Russell Westbrook or LeBron James or Anthony Davis. That's the exact same messaging you heard. Right? The exact same messaging you heard from Sean Marks, wasn't it? I mean, that's really it. That's exactly what Sean Marks said. So let's go into further detail here, where they had a meeting. Rich Paul, Rob Pelinka, Darvin Ham, LeBron James. Now, in the meeting at some point, I'm sure they discussed the two-year $97.1 million extension. Pelinka said, we want you to finish your career here. If you do the math, the second year of that contract would allow him potentially to play with Bronny James, whether Bronny's actually good enough or not. That doesn't seem to bother LeBron James. Right. And as it all came together, the team is hopeful for a corner three-point shooting bump from Russell Westbrook. Now, it's pretty interesting that they also had out there that Russell Westbrook actually shot a good percentage, 43% from corner threes last year. So if you're sitting there going like, well, why would you have a guy who's such a low percentage three-point shooter? Okay, low percentage three-point shooter. Why would you have him take more corner threes? What it's obvious in what they're doing is they're trying to say, look, and I there's one level to it which I like, which is when a guy's not a good shooter, and full candor, I won't tell you who I was down there talking to, but Chris Beard's a good friend of mine at the University of Texas, their head coach, and so they got one guy in particular who they think is a tremendous player, but not a good enough three-point shooter in order to get where he wants to get and for them to get where they want to get. And so I proposed to them kind of the Avery Johnson sort of philosophy. Avery Johnson famously was cut three times by the Spurs before he helped lead the Spurs to an NBA championship. What changed after those times in which he was cut was he was a non-shooter that I worked on my spots, right? Where he found spots on the court. That's all he practiced. And so there wasn't any thinking as to, is this a good shot or is this a bad shot? Do they want me to take this now? Let me take this. You work on a limited number of spots and that's all you shoot. Like, you can work on the other parts of your game, but this becomes the, it, it, It helps you with turnovers because you don't have to. A lot of turnovers are when you overthink, when you pass and you should be shooting and you get hung up, if you will. Or no one on the team knows if you're going to be shooting or you're going to be passing because of your lack of decisiveness. So my guess is, and it's a pretty educated guess here, that what they're going to try and convince themselves is, look, we got all the statistical data. It shows us that Russell shoots the corner three best. That's what we want him to work on. That's what we're going to play through. We're going to play through Anthony Davis, play through LeBron James, which seems to be smart because it's really hard to play through a point guard who can't shoot in this day and age in the NBA because his guy's in the lane. And it allows him to make far too many decisions. And no matter what you want to read about averaging a triple-double, the fact is he's not a great decision maker. The flaw to it is you're going to take a guy who has only really played with the ball in his hands over the last decade, and if you're telling him to play through LeBron and play through Anthony Davis, you're going to reduce him to a corner three-point shooter. Now, can it work? I guess. I mean, part of that is, hey, look at what happened with Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony, when he became simply a corner three-point or three-point threat, forced himself away from his comfort zone of a mid-range jump shot. Eventually, he became very effective. But remember, Carmelo was also out of the NBA. And Carmelo was also an outstanding mid-range shooter before he became an outstanding three-point shooter, as he's become in this last year and a half or so. But when I read what is, without any question, a leaked report, it doesn't just say, hey, we're going to play Westbrook off the ball, which, if you've played basketball and you've played with the ball in your hands, you know it's very, very weird to be without the ball in your hands. Happens when you're a coach. If you're a head coach, weird to be an assistant. If you're a lead singer, hard to play backup. Same thing when you're playing basketball. But the other part to it is, it seems to emphasize the weakest part of his game and take away the strongest part of his game. Right, the strongest part of Russell Westbrook's game is his unique and crazy competitiveness and athleticism. This seems to mute that. It feels like an acquiesce to LeBron James and to his agent that you talk so glowingly about him. Not that that surprises you. You should talk glowingly about LeBron, but about Anthony Davis, and you decide to play through them. And I also, when I read the messaging of what they want and playing for each other, it tells me they're not really interested in Kyrie Irving. They're just not. If the Nets aren't and they feel like he destroyed their culture, why would they want him?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code Doug. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Doug, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNG.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Got a lot to get to. We'll hit back up our Lakers thoughts as the story of a meeting with LeBron, Rich Paul, Darvin Ham, and Rob Pelinka. But let's dive in on some NFL, shall we? Daniel Jeremiah joins us, NFL analyst. You hear him call Chargers games on the radio. You see him on the NFL Network. And if you want to download a football pod, I would start with Move the Sticks. He and Bucky Brooks, it's great. It's very easy to listen. Two really bright guys who really, really know the sport that they talk about. DJ, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We were gonna mess with you with the Padres, but they actually came back and won last night. How are you feeling about your Padres' new roster?
We're gonna be fine. I saw your tweet. Same old Padres. I took note. They're gonna be fine, Doug. As with any other sport, it's talent over everything. So you have a little bumps in the road. They get adjusted. They'll get it smoothed out. At the end of the day, you're going to have too much talent not to get in the postseason. And then when you get there, you see what happens.
Fair enough. What's your sense in talking to people around the league about what's actually going to happen with this Deshaun Watson deal?
You know what? The interesting thing is everybody that I talk to around the league, I'm not talking to obviously anybody in Cleveland. They're not even talking about it anymore. They're kind of exhausted by it, and nobody knows, you know, exactly how many games this ends up being. And it's almost, you know, for something that was a topic of conversation, you know, once every couple days, you know, if not every week, it's been like the last, since the first ruling came out, you knew they were going to appeal it. Nobody's talking about it. They're all just kind of over it. And I'm sure there's some fatigue elsewhere.
Sure.
You know, with fans as well. But yeah, the guys I talked to have just, they've kind of moved on.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was kind of at that point as well, right? Where you're just like, I got to get this, has to get over with, because it does feel like we're continuing to talk about the same thing over and over again. We shall in fact see. Okay. Let's get to some other stuff. Baker, is he really breaking away from Darnold, or is it just they're trying to say it into fruition?
Well, I think, you can look at it from the outside, and it's obvious. You know, tie goes to the runner in baseball. I mean, if it's a tie or if it's relatively close, you're going to go with Baker because you have the hope of what you haven't seen yet versus the reality of having, you know, already seen Sam struggle a little bit last year. So I think Sam not only needs to be better than Baker, he needs to be significantly better to keep that job. I think it's all kind of lined up for Baker to roll out there week one. I'm, you know, and I haven't been there, but I would be surprised if that's not what we get.
How good would they be?
You know, I don't know. I'm curious on that division because you don't know with New Orleans, new coach, new quarterback, or, you know, just getting reacclimated there with Jameis. That could be a little bit of an adjustment period. Got some changes there with Brady and Tampa. I don't know. Atlanta, I don't think, is very good. So I don't necessarily think that the Panthers are going to be great, but, you know, I think that they've got some favorable games in their schedule. I don't think they're a 500 team, but I think they could approach 500.
I do think that one of the things that people are starting to realize, Tampa's got some injury issues, and we also have no idea what it looks like with the changing coaching staff, but also you got the retirement of Gronk. You know, like that's a different football team than the one that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, health is a big deal. So, you know, let's wait and see. And we've said it every year. You know, we kind of are waiting for when Brady's going to, you know, show that he's mortal, and it never really has happened. Maybe slowed down a tiny bit, but we start getting some injuries around him. Maybe we finally see some signs of age there. Who knows? But I definitely think there's a lot of unknowns in that division, and I wouldn't keep the Bucs out of that conversation. I think there's some unknown there as well.
Daniel Jeremiah is our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Let's go to New England. A lot of people have been critical of an offense which has appeared sluggish in training camp. My only point was, like, look, I get that it's unconventional, but this is criticizing Belichick is criticizing Warren Buffett for a recent investment, right? Generally, the guy knows what he's doing. But you've been around this a long time. Like, what do you think of what they're doing with that offense, especially with a second-year quarterback?
Oh, I think that the reports and some of the rumblings and what it looked like are accurate. I think that is a little bit of a mess, you know, with the combination of Patricia and Judge. I don't know that that is a decision that they're going to, you know, look back on and say that was a wise move. But it's the Patriots. Bill Belichick can coach every position on the field as well as anybody. If he doesn't feel like they're producing and they're not comfortable and the protections are all jacked up, guess who's going to be the offensive coordinator, who's going to take it all over and everything will be just fine? It's Bill Belichick. He's the ace in the hole. So I think people are kind of rooting for the demise of the Patriots. And maybe it doesn't work out great with Joe Judge and maybe Matt Patricia. Those guys can't cross over and be great offensive minds. But at the end of the day, does it really matter when Bill can just take the thing over himself?
It is. It's going to be really interesting to see exactly how that thing plays out. What about Miami? You know, they're pumping out on social media. I know there's not a connection between coaching staff and social media. They're trying to prove that Tua's got a cannon. He's throwing the ball downfield. What are reports of how that's working out?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an obsession with his arm strength, and people love to debate it, and it gets pretty fierce on social media. You know, can he and will they push the ball vertically? I don't necessarily think they have to. I think that it's a run after the catch system. Tua's gonna. I think they'll help him out with some of his vision and size issues. I think they'll get him on the move with some of those, zone read, some of those boots that they do in that Shanahan system, those stretch boots that they're kind of famous for. I think it's going to provide some clear sight lines for him. And I think he's going to wear people out kind of underneath an intermediate. So all this off-season obsession over deep balls, I don't know that we're going to see, you know, kind of those traditional big-time deep balls in the system, even with all that speed. It's going to be a lot of horizontal football.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's get to the Chargers, a team that you cover. They seem to have shored up a lot of their needs. Right tackle was the question. Run stopping is the question. But there's a quiet confidence when you go to their camp, right? There's a quiet confidence of, like, we got a really good football team. Have you felt that as well?
Yeah, I've been out there, you know, a handful of times, including just having left there, and there is. You know, I talked to Herbert today, and he feels really, really good, not just about the kind of the guys that I think the, you know, the average fan knows about. We're talking about Keenan Allen.
All right, we're working to get DJ back in 1 second. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio as he was just getting into his Charger break. Is that what happens as soon as you talk Chargers, that you automatically drop out, right? Like if it was Rams, all of a sudden Ramos would be back. You were talking about Keenan Allen when we lost you.
Yeah, sorry, Doug. I don't know. I just lost you there. But the everybody kind of knows about Keenan and Mike. But when you talk to Justin Herbert, like he's equally excited about Josh Palmer. And he's pumped up about Gerald Everett, the tight end, being able to work some in the middle of the field. And they've got Isaiah Spiller to add to the backfield. I mean, they've got a lot of depth. They've got one of the better offensive lines in football, which, you know, if you said that a couple years ago after they'd been trying to search for that, you know, quality offensive line, they found it. And they got to figure out the right tackle thing, as you mentioned. But right guard to left tackle, I don't know that there's another offensive line I'd rather have than what they have. So there's a lot of pieces in place, and there's a lot of confidence coming out of their camp. I know it's sunshine and roses for everybody, Doug, but this isn't forced. This is a very, very sure and confident group.
It sure does feel like it's a sure and confident group. Cowboys seem to have a little bit of the Tampa thing, right? Especially in the offense with the injuries. What's the level of concern there?
Well, I mean, I want to see the age of these linemen, and we're not going to know that until we get into the season. We're probably not going to know that until we get through the first quarter of the season. I want to see, you know, how Tyron Smith and Zach Martin hold up physically and how they're playing. If they can get those guys to kind of play up to their traditional level at this age, not easy to do, but if they could and kind of fill in around them, I think they'll be okay. I'm not as worried about some of the receiver losses as other people. I think this offense can literally go through CeeDee Lamb and let him beat DeAndre Hopkins and catch, you know, 120 balls. I don't think that's an issue with them throwing the football. I just want to make sure that offensive line stays healthy, number one, and plays much better, number two.
The Raiders are going to be interesting this year. Why are they playing Josh Jacobs two series in the Hall of Fame game?
I don't know. I mean, other people do it differently. You know, I was talking to some guys today who were talking to their friends in the league and said that, you know, one of their running back buddies said they do a live to the ground period every single day when they're in pads, like literally getting running backs tackled to the ground. Just like that's some teams decide to, you know, to approach it differently. I just with all the information we have now and knowing it's a 17 game season, if you have value in a player at you know, those key positions and they've proven themselves, I hope they play because we got to call the games, Doug, but I couldn't justify it if I was coaching one of these teams.
Nope, not even a little bit. I've heard, I've talked to a couple people who said, you know, keep an eye on the Colts as being a team just because people felt like competent quarterback play away. Now, I don't know what Matt Ryan has left, but he is in the dome, and that division does not look great. Have you heard the same about the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty consistent. Everybody that I've talked to that's made the tours has all come back and said Buffalo's the best team. That's the one thing they say. And the other thing they say is, you know what, the Colts are going to be really, really good. And Matt Ryan does not turn the ball over. He makes the layups that they couldn't make previously. It's not going to be a real dynamic offense, but they're going to be efficient. They're going to play really good defense, and they're not going to beat themselves. So they're kind of viewed as that kind of under-the-radar team in the AFC. But, you know, it's crazy with, you know, Kansas City and all their success, Cincinnati coming off of a Super Bowl year, the Chargers and the Raiders loading up, you know, everybody that's, you know, been to double-digit training camps and people that I trust that actually know what they're looking at have all came back and said they thought Buffalo was the best team in the league.
Who have they come back and said is the most disappointing?
The Giants. And maybe not disappointing is the word. The way I phrased it was, who's the best team you've seen? The worst team you've seen?
Yeah. Well, I want to make sure I was trying to be clever and cautious with the word. It's now part of that is, you know, you got a totally new regime, right? But man, did they? You remember when they drafted Saquon Barkley? The big thing was, well, shouldn't they take quarterback here? The Giants never draft in the top five, right? They'll never be in the top five, top 10 again. And now look at them; they're just living in it.
Yeah, and the problem is you got to evaluate your quarterback, and I just don't know who he's really throwing the ball to that's going to give him a fair evaluation. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough on Daniel Jones, and that's a division with some pretty good defensive line play at all three of those teams. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge for them.
Daniel Jeremiah is our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. And I was thinking of you when I was reading about the Mekhi Becton story, right? Because yeah. Mekhi Becton's a guy who, obviously, you're close to guys in that front office. And when they drafted him, there was the buyer beware of, he's a giant man who has carried a lot of weight. Now, he has two straight knee injuries on the same knee. And this year, obviously, the weight had to be at least some level of a factor. Look, I know you know this, but doesn't this reiterate, like, those scouting reports are there for a reason when you're drafting a guy?
Yeah, and it's, you know, look, it just sucks and it's disappointing because when he was in shape and was on the field his rookie year, he was a dominant player. I mean, Baldy had a field day every week just doing XO cut-ups on social media showing scrimmage. Is how dominant he was, but you were hopeful that, you know, some of the weight issues he'd had in the past wouldn't show up. And that first year, he showed up in great shape. He showed up at the combine in great shape, got through that season in pretty good shape. And then last year gets hurt, gets out of shape, and then comes in this year and was kind of working to try and get back into shape. And they never divulged the numbers, but you could tell he's carrying extra weight. And I'm like you, Doug. I'm not a doctor, and I feel terrible that he got hurt. But I also feel like, man, if you're carrying that much weight, it just can't be good. It just can't be healthy for your legs, man. And you'd have to think there's at least some connection between the weight and these unfortunate injuries. But it's a shame because he's talented, man. When he's out there and he's in shape, he's as good as it gets.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But again, you talk about it. Now, I know they moved him to the right side, but this has to affect the development of Zach Wilson as their quarterback.
Yeah, but I would say, and I brought this, me and Bucky talked about this the other day, you got Elijah Vera Tucker, who is a really talented lineman out of SC, played guard. They've got him, and they had just signed Lakin Tomlinson, who's a really good player. So they're going to be firm up the middle, and you go talk to any play caller, offensive coordinator, or even quarterback, they'll tell you, you know, if I got to have a hole somewhere, I'd rather have it at right tackle than in the interior. At least I can get away from that guy. So they can help him out with a tight end. They can help the right tackle out with a back, but they should be pretty solid up the middle.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Move the Sticks is the podcast. DJ, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Doug. See you, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team. A driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So I was flipping back and forth. I watched the Angel game just because I'll be honest with you. I can't remember the last time I watched a full Angel game because usually they're getting beat. It was what, 5-1 they beat the A's? Is that right? 5-1? Yeah. And Ohtani pitched, what, 6 scoreless. He tried to go back out for the 7th. And they were like, where are you going? I'm sure he wanted to, you know, help preserve his 6-inning shutout. But that clearly was not needed. And I actually thought of a great line. Do you guys want to hear my great line I thought of when I was watching the...
Sure.
All right. See how this one sits with you, because you have to understand the movie reference, right? You really, really do. The Oakland A's, right? The Oakland A's are the team that Rachel Phelps thought she was building with the Cleveland Indians. What do you guys think? Anybody?
An ode to Major League?
Yeah.
Wow, Rachel Phelps.
Yeah.
That's a deep dig.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Is that too deep? What do you guys think?
Well, the name just doesn't easily come to mind until you said what the Indians are.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Or you could say, is Rachel Phelps, does she own the A's, right? I don't know. that she wanted to move them to Miami. Remember, because that was the premise of why they were supposed to be so bad, was there was a clause in their lease that if they were so bad, they could get out of their lease and move to Miami, where she wanted to move. She's a former male entertainer, right? That was right, right? That was the role? Anyway, let's get to Midway. Let's get to the Midway.
Stuck in the middle.
In the middle of you. Yes. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. Got to be 21, present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's time for Stuck in the Middle. The Midway.
So here's what I was thinking, okay? Here's what I was thinking. We could each go around the room and just say a random professional sports team's name, and you guys name like the first three guys to come to your mind. I say this because I'm watching the Angels, I'm watching the A's, and all I can think about was, remember Dave Stewart when he pitched for the A's, and how he used to be this just nasty, mean mug dude, and then after the game, you'd hear him, and he had like a Mike Tyson voice almost, or even higher. You guys remember that? Like Dave?
Yes.
To me, yes. When I think of the A's, I think of Bash Brothers, Eck. I think of a lot of guys. Dave Stewart, Walt Weiss. Wasn't he the shortstop for a long time?
Yeah.
Walt Weiss.
Carney Lansford.
Ah, Carney Lansford.
Steinbach.
Yeah, catcher. Anyway, I start just thinking of random like 80s, 90s baseball players. But I think most teams are like that. And I think it's one of the things that we're going to get away from with guys switching spots so often. So I thought the same thing. I was watching the Padres. Like, man, I'm thinking of Ken Caminiti. I remember Kevin Mitchell was a Padre. Obviously, the late, great Tony Gwynn is the Padre, right? He's the Padre. All right, I'll start, and then you each go. And then, J-Stu, you want to go second?
Yep, let's do it.
Ramos, you go third?
Sure.
And Beyer, you go fourth. Just any random team, and you tell me who he reminds you of. The Chicago Cubs, Jason Stewart.
I mean, I think of Ernie Banks, like, right away. Like, no hesitation, Ernie Banks. But I guess if I give more thought to it, you know, Ryan Sandberg, Andre
Ryan
Dawson.
Sandberg, Andre. Go ahead, Ramos.
I think of Kerry Wood. I think of Sammy Sosa.
Do you remember when Kerry Wood had he had 20 strikeouts, Byron?
Yeah,
that
I believe
20
so.
20 strikeouts? He was so nasty.
Before Dusty Baker ruined his career.
What about you there?
Midway.
Yeah, Beyer.
Outside of the Sandberg popular ones, the Andre Dawson year in '87 was magnificent. But I also think of Leon Durham.
Yeah.
I also think of Jerome Walton and Sean Dunstan.
Nobody mentioned Mark Grace.
That's true. Yeah, he's a good one.
Mark Grace had more hits than anybody in the 90s, right?
Yeah. I mean,
more hits than him. And he was like, he had a great nickname, Amazing Grace. Tustin High School. He used to work at the batting cages across the street. He's also a high school hooper, went to junior college in San Diego State, and then obviously made it to. I think of Mark Grace. I remember Mark Pryor. Mark Pryor got hurt. Didn't he get hurt like in a rundown or a ball? It hit his arm. Because he had a bunch of arm problems. But I remember Mark Pryor was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and like he had the perfect throwing motion was what they said. And then, of course, he shredded his arm there not long after.
I think he suffered from the same thing that Kerry Wood did. It said Mark Pryor, parentheses, Dusty Baker.
Ah! okay, you're up, Jay Stu.
All right, ready? We're going to switch sports here. We're going to change gears.
Go.
And I'm going to volley it back to Dan. Atlanta Falcons, go.
Oh, wow. Atlanta Falcons. Andre Rison.
Bad Moon.
Yeah. Deion Sanders.
Prime time.
Do I have to give three? Is that the...
No, you can do it. Okay. I mean, you can do two. You can do three. Just guys to pop in your head.
Yeah. Yes. Andre Rison, actually, even more so than Deion. Because he stayed.
You would know this one, Beyer, because I'm struggling a little bit. The first one for me is Mike Vick. Right?
Yeah.
But there was a running back.
Jamal Anderson?
There's Jamal Anderson, right?
That was going to be my pick.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
No, it's okay. Was it Riggs?
Gerald Riggs?
Not like...
Yeah.
Like Riggs and Murtaugh. Was there a running back named like Gerald Riggs?
Yes.
And that was back when they wore red, right? And they played in Fulton County Stadium?
Yep.
That's the one. That's the one that jumps out at me.
Yeah, the first Super Bowl I ever, you know, covered or went to was the Jamal Anderson Falcons Super Bowl. That guy was the biggest personality on that team. So when I think of that team, I think Jamal. And then I think Bartkowski for whatever reason.
Steve Bartkowski?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe because these were guys that we had football cards of or something.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. But honestly, I think it
Number
is football
10.
Cards.
Yeah.
That's good. Good one. Ramos, you want to hop in or you good?
Jeez, all I can think of is Chris Chandler. I just think of quarterbacks.
That's a really good one. Super Bowl 33.
The Midway.
You're up, Byer. You pick the team.
Oh, is it?
Oh, no. Ramos. John, it was Ramos. Up, yeah.
I was going to pick the Montreal Expos.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a great one.
And I don't think you can use national players, just strictly the Expos.
Okay. I mean, go ahead, guys.
I said Andre Dawson earlier, and I also think Andre Dawson with the
Expos.
Pedro
Martinez, right? Wasn't Pedro Martinez in
it? He was.
And Randy Johnson?
Oh, Randy man. Johnson was forget expo. That Randy Johnson was on those teams. Yeah. Wow.
That was back when he was really wild.
Yes.
Really well.
How about the trio of Delino DeShields, Marquise Grissom, and Larry Walker?
Nice.
Rock Raines. Anybody want to do Rock
Tim Raines?
Well, that was Tim Raines was a part of the outfield. Again, this goes back to having the cards. It was Raines, Ellis Valentine.
Wow.
And Andre Dawson. Wasn't Al Oliver in there somewhere too?
I got a couple for you that we've forgotten. Best bad ball hitter of our lifetime was who?
Vlad
Guerrero. Yeah.
Vladdy, right? And then the other one would be Gary Carter. Gary
That's
Carter.
That's a good one.
The kid.
Gary Carter, the kid.
The Midway.
Byer, you're up.
It's funny that John said the Expos because I was going to stay across the border with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Ooh.
Staying the baseball theme.
John Olerud.
Dave Steeb.
I told Steve DeSager yesterday that the first baseball game I ever saw was at County Stadium in Milwaukee. Brewers and Blue Jays, and Dave Steeb pitched that game.
That's amazing. That is really amazing.
It is.
Joe Carter, right, obviously. Where did they play before they played in Skydome?
Exhibition Stadium.
What was that place like?
Awful.
It's horrid. Yes.
It looked like a AAA venue. With AstroTurf.
What's funny is the Expos, which I know is the team we were previously talking about, they had that dome that was a retractable dome, but it like didn't work after the Olympics, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like a parachute that would float down, and it never could get open. It just sat there.
To me, like Olympic Stadium was always, whenever I'd watch Dodger games at Olympic Stadium, there was nobody in the crowd, and the air conditioning was on loud. It was just horrible ambiance to watch a game and listen to it.
Okay, so if I do Blue Jays, I would go... honestly, I actually think of Cito Gaston as their manager.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Sure.
Right, Cito Gaston. Crime Dog, right?
Yeah.
Ben McGriff?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember... I mean, you have to be an RBI baseball guy, but Jimmy Key?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Jimmy Key?
Pat Hankin.
Lefty.
Yeah.
Yeah, lefty. Big, big curveball. Yeah. Big curveball.
George Bell won an MVP in the late 80s.
Lloyd Mosby.
Oh, yeah. Garth Orge. Odd name. See, Garth
Isn't that
Orge.
Funny? Like, this feels to me like this is a nothing burger segment, but it's fun. And I guarantee there are people driving around, and they're super into it, and they're yelling like, Devon White, Candy Maldonado.
That's very true.
Right?
How about
Remember
Joe
Candy
Carter?
Maldonado.
I know, like, you know, you may associate him with Cleveland, but he only hit the biggest hit in franchise history.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I did say Joe.
He did
say
oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Midway. When
was that? I thought you said Dave Steeb.
I said Dave Steeb.
You said Dave Steeb, and I said Joe Carter.
Oh, okay. But they weren't the same generation, though.
Yeah. I want to say, did Winfield play there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't, I mean, so did Molitor.
Yeah.
You know, Robbie Alomar.
But Paul Molitor, well. Okay, so Paul Molitor, we think, this is what I mean. Paul Molitor, you think of as a Brewer, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dave Winfield, do you think of as a Padre or a Yankee?
Yankee. Yankee.
Okay. Yeah. Sandy Alomar, you think of as an Indian, right? Or no, that's
yeah,
that's,
Roberto. Yeah,
Roberto
yeah. Alomar, you think of as who? As a Blue Jay?
He won two Oriole? Titles as a Blue Jay. Yeah, that's a tough one. He came up with the Padres.
Yeah.
Wow. The what was I thinking about? Those Blue Jays, those 92 and 93 Blue Jays teams, they always brought in ringers at the end of the season. I remember they got Ricky Henderson in his prime for the last 6 weeks. I think of 93, won a title.
I remember they had a guy who I grew up watching.
Now batting for the California Angels, Dick Schofield.
Right? they brought him in?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, he was a shortstop.
Wow.
Shortstop.
Tony Fernandez was always their guy.
Tom Henke was their closer.
Tom Henke.
Oh, yeah.
The Midway.
Here's the other thing about the Blue Jays as well is there are different versions of it. Like, you could even say Jose Bautista. Like,
Joey
recently.
Bautista, yeah. Yeah. Joey Bats. Joey Bats, how long did the Joey Bats thing last? 2 years? 3 years? Remember, he was like morally offended when nobody wanted to give him some long-term extension. And then all of a sudden, like, he's not even in. What happened to Joey Bats?
Well, he had like an 8-year career of being a mediocre major leaguer, and then he just started hitting a ton of home runs out of nowhere in Toronto.
Yes.
So no one quite bought into him.
Yes.
And he does follow everybody on Twitter.
Yes, he does.
Because I am followed by Jose Bautista, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Joey Bats follows the John Ramos show?
He just follows me personally, but he follows I think he has like 8,000 followers and 8,000 people.
So what really happened Jose Bautista. I think that's a great investigate. Can you do some investigative journalism?
I mean, he's on record as saying that he just did a lot of reconstruction to his swing and then started the uppercut that we've become accustomed to over the last 10 years. He played in a hitter-friendly ballpark. Everyone who plays for the Blue Jays has, like, career years.
Was he one of the very first players that I can remember that started the whole, like, bat-flipping stuff? Wasn't it even...
Didn't well, he had like, bat flips. He had some monumental home runs during those couple years that he was there. But, like, the dude had never hit more than 16 home runs, and he hit 54 and 43.
That's ridiculous.
It's all in the hands, Doug.
It's all in the – we're reworking the swing.
Brady Anderson thinks that's a weird
– Brady Anderson was – I have Fruit Loops. Remember he said he had Fruit Loops for breakfast every day?
Yeah, Fruit Loops.
Yes. What's in the Fruit Loops, Brady?
The
late Roy Halladay as well.
Roy Halladay, that's a great call. How do we forget Roy Halladay?
I was getting there, but then we spent so much time on Bautista that I was just saying there's different, like, you know, seemingly like different generations of Blue Jays, because you've got the 80s Blue Jays, then you got the World Series Blue Jays in the 90s, then kind of like the... For some reason, they added black to their uniform 2000s, the Joey Bats 2010s.
Those early 2000s teams that you just mentioned, Roger Clemens was brought in, and they won a Cy Young Award. Now, there's a guy, who do you associate? That's got to be the Red Sox, right?
Roger Clemens is a Red Sox or a Yankee, right? It depends on which part of his career. And then, obviously, an Astro as well. But, yeah, he was struggling in his career, and they thought he was washed up. Then he went to Toronto and suddenly became the best pitcher on earth again. Huh.
Funny. No, that was remarkable, his career turnaround.
Anyway.
The Midway.
That was a really fun Midway. We'll have to do that again. Man, we're starting to get the tweets now. Tony Fernandez, great name. Kelly Gruber. This is awesome.
Gruber had a great mullet.
Yeah, outstanding mullet. I remember Kent Herbeck. Did he have a big mullet?
He had long hair.
Those Minnesota
he had long
Timbers,
hair, but I wouldn't call it a mullet
teams.
Though. It was just like long
hair.
Yeah.
What is it with closers that they got to have the flow? That they come in and they all have to have like some sort of massive amount of flow. We got to get a baseball dude on. Hey, we're gonna let me turn to football real quick. You know, we're at a place in society, okay, where we're at a place in society where I understand some level of sensitivity from the public. I can tell you unequivocally, inside locker rooms, there's not nearly the same amount of sensitivity. There just isn't. And somewhere in between the two is the balance. And I find this fascinating that there have been various articles written about quarterbacks, especially where when you point out the when a scouting report becomes public, you know, when a scout's report becomes public, people lose their collective minds. And we all know of, like, the Geno Smith one was the most obvious one. A guy named Nolan Noraki wrote it. And then when you go back and you look at it, and now Geno Smith, I have friends that were with the Giants that told me the same. Like, when he got to start with the Giants, even though, and they sat Eli down, the problem was that it was the same stadium as the Jets, and he was hated by New Yorkers and thought to be a bust as a quarterback. But the reason they wanted to give him a start was he'd be the consummate pro as a backup. They were eventually working to the third-string rookie, kid out of Texas Tech. I'm forgetting his name. Maybe you guys remember. Anyway, they just wanted to go like, hey, Geno's been... And Geno's a good dude. When he was with the Chargers, same thing. But if you look at the scouting report of him coming out of college, it was not... It, first of all, it nailed it in terms of him as a player and some leadership questions. And what happens now is we attack the Nolan Rockies or any of these guys where something negative about them comes out. Like, look, you're investing millions of dollars. The perfect example is Mekhi Becton. And if you ask anybody, and even coming out, there's like, well, there's some questions, off the field questions. The biggest question was like, dude, he played at over 400 pounds in college and he got in shape for the combine. The Chris Carter has the famous expression, money doesn't change you. It makes you more of who you are. So Mekhi Becton, unfortunately, has hurt his knee. And, you know, look, can I draw a direct correlation between being heavy and hurting your knee? No. And he's not a great fit for how Robert Saleh wants to play with a zone blocking scheme. But the fact is that he was heavy, got hurt last year, and then this year came in even heavier. They moved him to right tackle, and he gets hurt in like the second week of practice, and he's out for the year. So I don't know. It's just one of those things that when we look at these scouting reports, understand that they are not written for public consumption over somebody's feelings. They're written so that as somebody who is paying millions of dollars to an athlete, you got to have both eyes open as to not just the strengths, but the weaknesses and what somebody has to work through. And if you can't accept it, if that guy's not willing to work through it and talk about it, well, then it's never going to work. Mekhi Becton is a story that unfortunately seems to have derailed a potentially great career, but one that's a buyer beware for future NFL drafts, especially guys with weight issues. We just assume everybody who's heavy is going to lose weight. Well, you know, you get them with an NFL guy, you get them with an NBA guy, they lose weight. They like that's not always what happens. It should, but not always what happens.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm
Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.